Glory to God. Were you all happy you came to church today? Yeah. Well, you certainly better be, because if you had missed that, it would have been stupid. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have some faithful people that are away getting relaxation this week, and of course, that's never stupid. Praise the Lord. Amen. But, you know, they're so faithful, they're probably watching right now, and even if they're not, I'm sure they'll tune in at some point. But glory to God. God is good. He loves us. Amen. He's got good plans for us, and I am excited to get into what we're going to get into. Amen. I've been preaching a message on simple faith, and I just want to continue down that vein. You know, it's not something that we can exhaust too quickly, and so it's not something I'm going to try to exhaust too quickly. I want to continue getting into it, continue milking out of it all that we can get. We're going to keep squeezing that lemon, right? Praise the Lord. We're going to keep squeezing that lemon, and we're going to get all the essence that we can out of it. Amen. But you know, as I was getting ready this morning, you know, can you guess where I was when I got some revelation? I was in the shower, praise the Lord. And as I was in the shower, I was starting to get some revelation. So I still know why God speaks to me in that place, but he does, and I'm happy and thankful for it, amen? You would think, as a result, I would want to shower more, but he does speak to me in other places too, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in the bathroom and just felt the need to pray? I mean, seriously, like, I know this sounds a little bit rough and crude, but, I mean, you're literally using the bathroom. I mean, you're just like, you're sitting, and you almost feel like too dirty to pray. I mean, there's a point to this. I mean, it's important for us to don't. Do you know that you can go before the Lord anytime? You know, I mean, there's a thing that doesn't mean that we want to be dishonorable, lead dishonorable lives. But, you know, if you're inspired to pray, even when you're in the bathroom, by God, start praying. Just, you know what I mean? Seek the Lord in the bathroom. I don't care. Seek him wherever you're at. There's no place that God has, you realize he made all our parts to work the way they do. And so if we can learn that we can see God in that, amen. As long as we put him first, praise the Lord. But as I was in the shower today, and I started, I don't know how this came up, but it was, you know, this thought about breakthrough and pushing through and, you know, all these things. And I know that there's been a lot of people in our churches that have been going through a lot of trials and different trials. And then one person will seem to get over a trial and somebody else will seem to pick one up. Amen. And so in any given time, we have a bunch of people going through trial. And, you know, the encouragement is always the same. But of course, you know, I started thinking about the scripture that tells us that there's a great and effective door open to us. But behold, there are many adversaries. And really, what that's saying is that, you know, when God opens a door to us, the devil isn't going to let you go through without unhindered. He's not going to just let you freely walk in and destroy his world. He's very adamant about not letting you do that. And so he tries everything that he can do within the realm of his ability to do. But, you know, the greatest thing is that we know that God, if we're on God's side, if we're following after him, that the devil can't stop us. Amen. But I don't know why this came up, but this is kind of, I'm going to call this kind of a swirly confession. Does anyone know what a swirly is? When I was growing up, when I was going into high school from middle school, my older brother, who was in high school, wanted to make sure that I didn't come in as a freshman not scared. He wanted to make sure that I was fully afraid of coming into school. And so he told me about this thing that was called a swirly. And if you don't know what a swirly is, basically a swirly is where you take somebody forcibly and put their head in a toilet, and then you flush the toilet and it swirls their hair, and that's what a swirly is. And so he taught me about this thing, and I was scared, really scared, going into school. But I didn't have the experience of getting a squirrely. I may have been squirrely, but not a swirly, amen? And so I didn't have the experience of getting a swirly until I went to youth group one day. And I went to youth group, and I had this friend named John. And my friend named John was real, he was a wrestler, not a professional wrestler, but a high school wrestler. But he was tough as nails. He was a fighter. He liked to fight, you know, and stuff like that. But he was in my youth group, and he was a good friend of mine. John was one of those people that when he was, you know, 15 years old, he looked like he was 25. he could grow a full beard and stuff. And you know, we did some bad things, and it was and he helped enable us to get to do some bad things. Amen. And this, if John, if you happen to watch, I don't blame you for all my mischievousness. But at any rate, one night at youth group overnight, we had youth group overnighters, and our youth group wasn't quite as sanctified as the one that we have here in this church. And we would do bad things at overnighters, lots of bad things. But one of the things we would do that wasn't bad is we had this huge church, and we'd run around it and we'd play sneaks, and then we'd hide in different places and hide from the youth leaders and do bad things and stuff like that. It doesn't really matter. But one night John and I think of my friend Dave. So Dave, if you're watching, I am blaming you, because you were supposed to be my friend and be there for me. Praise the Lord. But Dave is a good guy. Praise the Lord. He lives down in Virginia somewhere now, but every once in a while we still talk. Anyway, John decided, I think Dave was part of it, if not, I'm still blaming him, but John decided he was going to give me a swirly. Now, John was much tougher than I was, a lot stronger than I was, and John could wrestle me down, and I knew that, and there was always a little bit of fear of John. Even though he was a good friend, there was always a little bit of fear, that because he was unstable, you know, the elevator didn't quite reach the top. As Reverend Joe Moscato said to me several times, the cheese sometimes slid off the cracker, if you know what I mean. And that was the kind of guy that John was. And this night, his cheese fully slid off the cracker. Glory to God. And he started looking at my cheese. And so he's like, I can't remember how we got in the conversation, but he was bound to determine that he was going to give me a swirly. And so he, and I think Dave was part of it, but I just remember John was, he was dragging me down the hallway. And of course, I wasn't going willingly, you understand. I was fighting with everything that was in me, but it just didn't seem like I was getting anywhere. It seemed like the more that I fought, the closer to the bathroom door I got. And so finally, he busts open the bathroom door and drags me through it. And again, I really believe Dave was there. I can't quite see Dave in my memory, but I really believe Dave was there, and it was his fault. That's Dave Ally, in case you don't know. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Me and Dave got into so much trouble, I could tell you stories. Man, maybe I'll tell them at youth group sometimes because they would appreciate it a lot more. But at any rate, so Dave and Johnny got me in the bathroom, and we got to a stall. We're getting closer. I mean, I'm inches away from getting a swirly, but I'm going to tell you one thing that I wasn't going to do that night. Do you want to know what it was? I was not going to get a swirly. And I fought with everything that was in me. I mean, I fought and I fought and I fought. And I'm going to tell you, folks, to make a longer story shorter, I did not get a swirly that night. Eventually, John gave up. And I didn't get the swirly. Now, of course, he gave up in a tough guy, graceful manner, in the sense that he made it look like he just stopped. But he stopped because he fought and fought and fought, and I fought and fought and fought. And the reason that I bring all this up is because sometimes the devil wants to give you a swirly. Sometimes the devil's going to try to take you out. And he's bringing pressure, and man, he is fighting, and everything in you, you know that the fight is greater than what you are. The fighter is more than you can handle. The fight is something that is way beyond you. But see, I'm going to just tell you something. You got a little something on the inside of you that was like the inside of me that night, and it's called the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Spirit will empower you to be able to fight back against the devil. And if you won't give up, if you will press through, if you will push through that opposition as you're going into that door, folks, I am telling you, there is a glory land on the other side. The promise is on the other side. It still remains there, and you can absolutely go through if you will not give up. And that's the whole basis. This is where faith starts from. There are things that are going to come against you, and it's going to feel tough, but you ain't going to give up because you want to go on. You don't want the swirly. We ain't going to have the swirly, amen? We're going to have the testimony of how we fought through the swirly and won on the other side. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I done preached my iPad off, so we got to get back. Okay, glory to God. Well, last week we were talking about, we talked about works and being a doer. Glory to God. Today's message is called Simple Faith, What Are You Doing? Yeah. So we talked about being a doer, but now we're going to be actually talking about the doing. You know, the doing is kind of a thing that we, you know, we overcomplicate things so much in life sometimes. You know, we overcomplicate the Word, we overcomplicate God, we overcomplicate prayer, we overcomplicate. Hallelujah. We overcomplicate things all the time, but it's really not meant to be that way. We have to understand that the doing is not that difficult. You know, being a doer is simply one who starts doing. But we have to understand that the doing doesn't have to be a big first step. The doing starts with the first step that we know. You know, as I talk to people, you know, we set up loosely so far, and we're going to get into it more, but we set up a couple teams of people to reach out. And so if you're to reach out to our communities, and so if you've been put on one of those teams, I want you to listen specifically right now, because they didn't necessarily give you a lot of direction. And sometimes during church, you're not going to have a lot of, something will stir in you, but you might not have a lot of direction. Maybe you feel a call to something. Maybe you feel a call to something more. Maybe there's just, you know, right now I've had this thing in my spirit that's just, it's just pushing out against my spirit. I can't stop it. And it's exciting and it's pressing. And I'm thinking about all the things that wants to come out of this. And some of the things I can start to see and visualize the things that want to come out of this pushing from the outside or the inside out. But I don't know how they're going to happen. I don't know how they're going to get there. Right now, they're impossible. There's a lot of things that are in the way. There's a lot of things that have to change in order for it to happen. But what we have to do is, when we start getting unction of anything, we need to start putting action to that unction. Yeah. I said we need to start putting action to that unction. Mm-hmm. What we need to start doing is, we need to start doing what we know to do. Yeah. We do little things. And see, when I told these people, I said, I want you to start thinking about how we can reach these towns, and maybe every idea is not going to work out. And maybe some of you are going to sit there and you think, man, I just can't come up with anything. I'm going to see, the first thing you got to do is you got to desire it. You got to hunger it. And it's the same thing with all the things of God. If you want to get into what God has for you, the first place to start is desire. Yeah. You've got to start hungering for something. You might say, well, you know, I don't know why they always receive something I never do. And I can tell you the answer is probably because they hungered more. Wow. Do you realize that God will move on people that aren't even right, but because they hunger for Him, that He will open a door for flow in their lives? God will do that. They might have this all screwy. That happens all the time. They might not know, they might have this all twisted up, but they desperately and honestly hunger for the Lord. Do you know how I judge things, whether somebody brings something to me or I see something that's not right? One of the questions I always ask myself is, they may be a little bit off, but do they love the Lord? Yeah. Do they love God's people? Do they really want to see the world saved? Do they want to see the work of God come to pass? Do you know that we get that a lot as we look into different, you can look into different ministries and stuff. You can see people maybe that are doing things in practice we wouldn't do. And we wouldn't do them because you can't find it in Scripture. Well, but they're hungering and thirsting for God, can still move in those areas. And why do I bring this up? Because I'm encouraging you to be wrong? Not at all. What I'm encouraging you to do is to hunger for Him. Because even if you are wrong, God can still do something through you if you're willing to go. And so our heart should be to be right, of course. That should be a primary thing, because here's the thing. As much as you can do hungering, even if you're wrong, God can do a lot more when you hunger and you're right. So if you're on, if you know the Word, you know the truths, there's things that you can stand on. There's things where you can step out. Amen? And this is where that doing is found. Doing is a way of stirring hunger. You say, well, how is it? Well, when you start doing, have you ever, I don't know about you, but I every once in a while, I attempt to exercise. And I always have the same thing. I go into it hating it, never wanting to do it. And by the time I'm done, I'm always happy that I did. Yeah. So the overcoming is not doing it. The overcoming is in the starting it. And really, a lot of times in our doing, that's the same place that we're hindered in spiritual things, is that we just don't start. We, you know, maybe you don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Maybe you don't know what to step out in. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there's just things in my heart that I we haven't even gotten to Scripture yet. Amen. We'll get there. Hallelujah. And if we don't, we'll do it next week. Well, we'll get there today, I promise you. Amen. In fact, why don't we just go ahead and turn there, James 4:17. Hallelujah. I love, you know, there's times where I've looked at my own pastor or my pastor's pastor, and I'm like, I wouldn't have ever done that. I wouldn't do that. Kids, you ever say that about your parents or ever think that about your parents? I wouldn't do it that way. I'm going to John. We need to go to James. But you know something? It's amazing to me. I'm so thankful, and even more so after some experience I had this week, I'm so thankful for the camp that I've been raised in. Because the stability that's been put into me has enabled me to break into things of the Spirit that I couldn't get otherwise. And those things, I'm telling you, it's so much better to be in a church where we follow the Spirit than to just go to a church because it's some kind of religious duty. Praise the Lord. And you know that any denomination can reach God if they're hungry. Hallelujah. But we know we're hungry. And I don't care, we can be a denomination or we can, you know, some people say, well, we're non-denominational. We are, but non-denominational is still a denomination. You understand? It's like it's all just who you're aligning with, really. But what the difference is we don't try to stick so much to just the denominational rules. We follow after the Lord as much best that we can, and we'll be willing to have our theology shaken at times, and it's important to do that. Amen? James 4:17, glory to God. It says here, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's a real simple statement, but it's a real simple truth. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that's what God considers sin. Do you know sin is really just doing things that are not, that you can't have faith doing? I said sin is really just doing things you can't have faith doing. What is faith? Faith is going to God or going at anything with an assurance of an outcome, with the assurance that it's okay. One of the reasons why I can preach and come up with messages and come out with messages and say certain things is because I have a level of faith. The reason that you can sit here and listen to me do it week in and week out is because you have a level of faith. And so we understand that this is what faith is, but faith is essentially it's doing what you know that you can do. And so when we look at life, when we look at the things that, you know, maybe God has called us into something big. Maybe we know there's bigger things. You know, there's huge things that are on my heart, things that are way bigger than us, way bigger than what we can do as a church, all of us. If all of us jumped in 100, well, if everyone was in 100%, we could do it. But praise the Lord. But you know, there's things that are just much bigger than who we are. Glory to God. Faith is what's going to get us there. Faith stirs hunger. But see, we know to do right, so we do what we know to do. You know, one of the things I struggled with when I was looking at certain doctrines, not all of our doctrine, but certain doctrines and having a hard time with it, and just it really what it was a transformation in me. Do you know that there can be two kinds of preachers, really, that I see, at least in this moment. So maybe there's more, but in this moment, there are those that parrot. There are those who can recite what they know, that can talk about what they know, that they've memorized a lot of things, they've sat in a lot of services, they've heard a lot of things, and they can repeat a lot of things. And then there's another kind of preacher that learns something, has relationship with the Lord, and through that relationship, God reveals things to them and truths to them, and they preach from a place of knowing it. They know it. See, this is why Jesus was so effective, because the things he did, he knew it. You know, a lot of people, they think, well, I'm going to try in faith. They get stirred up in faith. I'm going to try in faith to go walk on water. And so they go out there and they're like, all right. But see, they don't really know it. They don't have revelation. The only reason that Jesus could step on the water and not sink is because he had revelation in his heart that that's exactly what he could do. And he had revelation, so he knew it. So he wasn't talking from a place of parroting. He was talking from a place of knowing. And see, what I've realized in life is that as you pastor, you start off a lot of times as a parrot. You know, you've been taught good things. And it doesn't matter what church you come from or what background you are. The Baptists do it, the Methodists do it, the Catholics do it. Everybody does it. But at some point, somebody will step out and start saying, you know, I need to get into this more. And so I started questioning doctrine, and this is over the process of years. I wanted to understand things myself. Now, you understand that God has been working this in me from the time I started pastoring. But as I started seeking Him on certain things and really started getting into it and really started knowing, God started settling things in me and making me know certain things. See, this is what I knew to do was to go to the Word. What I knew to do was go before God. What I knew to do was to trust Him to continue. And as I did, God could reveal Himself to me in a greater way, in a more understandable way, in a way that I could speak it to other people. And that's exactly what He's trying to do. But we have to know to do right, the right thing to do. Now, sometimes the right thing to do is basic, you know, don't sin. Don't sin. That's a very basic form. But there's another form that I see a lot with hungry Christians, or where people kind of miss it, is people that are hungry. They start a stirring. They start seeing they're hungry for the Lord. They want things to happen. They want to get closer to Him, but they never quite get there. And the reason they never quite get there is because they've never allowed that hunger to transform into doing. Yeah. Just start doing something. You know, I often say this, if I was in a bad place and I had nothing to do, no money, nowhere to go, I'd just get up and start walking. Why? Because it would better than sitting there dying, right? You know, and I'm not going to live a life like that. I can't live a life like that, and you shouldn't live a life like that either. Maybe you've got things stirring in your heart. Maybe even today you say, well, Pastor, there's big things stirring in my heart, and everything that's happened seems like it's taken me backwards. Well, see, you can tap into that and allow God to start doing something just simply by showing Him you're interested. You know, those people I was talking about are groups of people. Like, if you took what your pastor says and said, okay, I've assigned you to do something, and you never do anything with it, it's never going anywhere. Right. You might be waiting for further instruction, but God's waiting for you to start doing, because, see, I can't do everything. I've learned that as a pastor. I can't run all the programs. I can't do all the outreaches. Some of the outreaches that will happen out of this church, I will have very little to do with. Praise the Lord. But you know, as I come into the church, one day I was at afternoon, I was coming into the church, I think, was I meeting with you or you were here or something. And as I was coming into, maybe I was coming into work when I was doing the back room there, and as I come into the church, I saw people in the church. I saw, like, where we had day after day where just people were in the church doing things. That there was a group over here speaking. I saw people sitting over there just talking. Like, I just saw it in the Spirit. It was like a brief thing. And at first I thought, is this just my imagination, or is it the Spirit of God? I believe it's the Spirit of God, because it keeps stirring. But as I've been partaking of other areas of life and just stepping out, and see, I got to step out too. I've got to do those things too, or we just get stale. But as I step out and I've gone to these other churches and I've seen this going on in other churches, and I'm thinking, that's the life that the church needs. That the reason, the way people are going to break out is when they start feeling part of something. And see, my wife and I started seeing this years ago. We're like, one of the reasons that church is kind of been dying out and people just aren't much interested in it anymore is because church has become a spectator sport. There's no participation. And you might say, well, Pastor, you haven't directed, but there's things that you could do. Do you know that there's things that you can stir in your heart that will make you be seen? See, I don't need to see in the natural. What I need to see is in the Spirit. And what I mean by that is not just because, you know, people present things to you all the time. You might come in with the greatest talent in the world, but I'm going to tell you something right now. One thing that does not happen in family church, talent gets you nowhere. You say, amen, Pastor, I can see it today. Talent gets you nowhere. It doesn't, does it? It doesn't get you anywhere. Talent, the ability to do something, doesn't put you in a position. You know what puts you in a position? Serving. You know what serving is? Serving is doing. Submitting. Submitting to what? Submitting to God's law, His divine law. Well, you know, we want to see things. Maybe you're not called to ministry. You think, some of you might be sitting there thinking, well, you're talking to people who are called to ministry. I am not talking to people who are called to ministry. In fact, everybody that sits in these seats is called to some kind of ministry. If you are a Christian, if you've received the blood that Jesus poured out for you, if you've taken that upon yourself, if you call yourself by His name, you have been called to ministry. I think we're going to see that today. Praise the Lord. But we have to do. You know, you don't have to do what the Word says. We give you instruction. You don't have to do it. This came to me as my wife was taking up tithes and offerings. I started writing it down. You don't have to do what the Word says. But you also don't have to be blessed by what it gives for doing the thing it says. See, when there's instruction in the Word, it should cause a doing in us. Because that instruction, we know it's been given by God, and if it's been given by God, it's been given to set us free and to set other people free and to cause His will to come to pass. That's why God calls us to do. Praise the Lord. And all these things. You know, maybe, sometimes one of the greatest areas, some of the greatest areas of need in the church are the least exciting areas to serve. Do you know that we have need for people to make sure that the seats are straightened, to make sure that there's envelopes in the back of the seats and pens? And some people will get that assignment and they might think, and I'm not saying anybody who has that assignment now is thinking this, but I just know because I've been asked to do these things before. And I thought, but that's not preaching. You know what I mean? That's what they'll think. That's what I'm called to. That's not laying on of hands and healing people. That's not opening blind eyes. That's what I'm called to. Do you know how you get there? Serving. The doing. The little things. And it's not just serving in the church. It's the little things that you choose to do every day. Maybe you wake up and you say, you know what, today I'm going to do this because this is what's on my heart. And that's what you do. Maybe today you're in the store and all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. I'm just going to walk up to somebody and say, somebody's on my heart to walk up to them. I'm going to walk up to them and say, you know, Jesus loves you. That might be a doing. You see, doing can be a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be this or that or one or the other. I'm just giving you examples that come to me as they come to me. But the whole point is that we have to start somewhere. But when we start with purpose. Amen? Glory to God. You don't have to do what the Word says, but you also don't have to be blessed. There's no requirement to be blessed. Do you understand that? There is no requirement. You should be blessed. You should love blessing, praise the Lord. But there's no requirement for it. Sometimes all we know is what we know in the moment. To step out in that thing is faith. Maybe the thing that you know in the moment is the furthest thing from the greatest thing that you're called to. I said, maybe that little thing that you're stepping out in the moment is the furthest thing, but that is where faith is born. And God always takes us through the little things to get to the greater things. The greater things in life, whatever it is, your life, whatever you're called to, whatever God is stirring inside you, it starts in those little moments. It actually, honestly, all of you did the right thing today. You stepped out and you came to church, and that's the beginning of it. You saw that there was an importance, and as I look around, I don't see any first-time visitors here. All of you have come back, and that's a step in the right direction, but that's not all. You can't stay there. You can't leave it there. You have to decide to do something with what's coming out of here. When we come to the church, when we come to hear from what the Lord has inspired the minister to say, when it comes out, we need to do something with it. Glory to God. Sometimes it's not going to feel like anything. Sometimes we'll have hands laid on us and they'll feel like nothing. But that doesn't mean it's nothing. It doesn't have to feel like something to be something. All we have to do is have enough faith to know that that's how God wants to do it, that that's what God wants me to do. And sometimes we'll do things for years that seem like they go nowhere. Right. Praise the Lord, I've done this. And then all of a sudden, pop, something happens. Yeah. Do you know, for years I've been just running up against the same wall in my life, in my ministry. This one wall I just kept running up against, and there's no breakthrough, there's no breakthrough, there's no breakthrough. And it's discouraging, and there's times where it's like, my God, when is this ever going to end? And it's just over and over, day after day, and week after week, and month after month, and it's depressing sometimes. But then all of a sudden, I keep going back, because one thing I won't do is won't get a swirly. I'm not doing it, folks. I'm not going to get the swirly. I can't. I've spent too much of my life in the toilet. I'm not going back and then allowing somebody to do it to me. And so I just kept coming back, and I just kept coming back, and now this breakthrough that I'm starting to sense, I don't know how it's going to happen. And some of the things you're like, yeah, well, Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking. You don't need to. You'll know it when it works. Yeah. You'll know it when it happens. And it's either going to happen or God's word is a bunch of lies. We're going to either go to a higher level or we've missed God or he's lying. One of the two. Amen. Well, if I'm determined not to miss God, that means I might miss him 99% of the time, but 1% of the time I'm not going to miss him because I am determined not to. I am determined not to stay put. I am determined not to just sit and grow old in a church and just be one of those Christians that just never do anything. I don't want to get to the end of my life and reflect back on my life and go, man, I should have done this and I should have done that. And I only didn't because I wasn't willing to step out. I'm not going to live that life, and you're not going to do that either. Praise the Lord. Because we're going to keep going down this vein, and you'll either jump on or you're going to jump off. And if you jump off, we'll wish you well as you go. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to slow us down. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, everybody in this church could leave. And I'm not saying it wouldn't hurt. It would hurt me. It would hurt me deeply. But it wouldn't stop me from fulfilling the plan that God has called me to. And if he's called me to here, if the church got torn, I'd start again. If the church quit, if they kicked me out, whatever, I would start again. Praise the Lord. Because that's what we have to do. We have to keep going. And you say, well, where's the guarantee that you would start again? My determination that that's what I'm going to do. You say, well, it might not be there then. It might not be, but it's going to be. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to make sure it is. See, this is what faith is. Faith is just not quitting. It's not being stopped. I'm going into everything that God has for me. I'm going to get there one way or another. It's hard. Man, I'll tell you what, the worst thing, the hardest thing that they did to me, they said, you're going to pastor. That wasn't the hardest thing. But then they said, now you have to go to MTC, and you have to take these classes. You have to spend 2 years doing this. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have to? This is the only way I can. So I put it before the Lord. I said, this is how I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. Because that wasn't my thing. That wasn't what I was going to do. Yeah, MTC is schooling for the family churches. People are called to ministry. Amen. What we know in the moment. Well, I've got big plans, Pastor. Big things in my heart. Slow down. Yeah. Start with the little things, and God will bring it to pass. Yeah. Whatever's in your heart, if it's truly of the Lord, if you trust him and you do something about it, you don't have to make it come to pass. And I'm going to speak, because I know there's several people in here that feel a specific call to ministry. I'm going to speak to you right now. If you feel a call to ministry, I'm not even debating. I wouldn't debate that. If that's in your heart, that's in your heart. And I'm excited for you. If it's truly God, he'll make a way. But you've got to do something about it. You've got, and that doesn't mean that you've got to make ministry happen. You've got to start with the little things and allow God to build the bigger things in you. Because when it's time, not just you will know it. And that's what I learned as well. Amen. Amen. Big plans come to pass with simple steps of faith. Who is it? Somebody said once a trip of a million miles begins with the first step or something like that. Dr. Dufresne used to like to say this. He's like, you got a mountain in front of you. He said, you might not be able to move it. Maybe all you got is a shovel. But he said, inch by inch, sure as a cinch, you go at that mountain with that shovel and it will move. You start with what you have. You start with where you're at. And see, this is the thing with God. This is a wonderful thing about following God, because again, all of us are called to do that. Yeah. Where is God taking me? Maybe you're in a place, you're like, big plans? I want to get through today. That's a big plan. Because sometimes it's a big day ahead of you. Yeah. You ever wake up and all you can see is the mountain? Well, getting over the mountain is still a big plan. You know, I've been endeavoring to be more healthy, and I only share that because of the process. God has been teaching me a lot of spiritual things through it. And so I only say that. I'm not to put anything on anyone else, but this is what he's been showing me. But one of the things that I found as I started getting healthier and doing these things that God led me specifically to do, all of a sudden these things that used to be a desire. You know, I used to be one of those people that I would look at, like, somebody hiking or something like that, somebody hiking in the mountains, and I would think, ooh, I want to do that. And then I would think of the practical aspect of actually doing it, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that. But you know, as I've been working on this, it being healthy and doing these things, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm starting to be inspired. I can do that. Now, maybe you have no interest in going hiking in the mountains or something. That's fine. That was my mountain. That was the thing that I was getting to. But all of a sudden, I start seeing a way. Why? Because I just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And actually, the Lord started showing me that's why when you want something good, it doesn't just fall into your lap. Because when you realize, when you work for something, when you spend time giving to it, and all of a sudden you start being able to do it, there's an appreciation, there's an understanding, and it stirs you and equips you to be able to go do the harder things. Why couldn't I hike in the mountains before? Because I would die if I did. I remember when Pastor Tim and I were in California and we had a few weeks out there. We were out 13 days. We were out there. It was when Dr. Dufresne went home, and so we had 3 days to kill, or 3 or 4 days to kill, and so we decided to go see the giant sequoias. Amazing. If you ever get a chance, I'm just telling you right now, skip Disney World, go see the giant sequoias. It's much more impressive. Disney World's cool, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to spend the money and you can only do it once, go see the sequoias. But there's this mountain peak up there, and there's this one rock that you climb up and you walk up this trail to get to, and it's up 6,500 feet in the air, something like that. So it's up in a higher elevation, and you know, it's one of those that you labor. And I was not in the position to be hiking. And I was pretty sure as we were hiking up this that I was about to die with a heart attack. Pretty sure I was. No, seriously, that's where I was at. Because I had to stop at one point. I said, Pastor, I can't go any further. Amen? Because I wasn't equipped to do so. But, you know, my brother goes on hunts. He goes on hunts all over the place. And he went to this hunt in Alaska. And he had to shoot this thing, a mountain goat, from like 460 yards or something like that, which is a long distance if you don't know. But to get up there, you can't just go there. You have to train to, you know, he has to practice certain things so he has the stamina to be able to do it. Well, it's the same thing with everything in life. As we're doing things in life, glory to God, we have to have the stamina. We have to build the stamina in us to be able to do it. And that's what God's trying to do. And that's what character is. Character is like spiritual stamina. Like, God can't put healing ability in your life unless you have the power character to carry it.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be to an extent, you know, God gives all things freely, and there's to an extent, all of us have some ability. But if you want to pray and have powerful prayers, there's a way of doing it. Build your character. Yeah. Why? Because the power doesn't come to those with terrible character. You know why? Well, there was this great healing revival in the early part of the last century. You know why it fizzled out? Because the people that were having these miraculous healings, and I saw one, it was amazing. This boy that came in and he had braces and stuff, and he couldn't see right, all this. I mean, it was I think Oral Roberts and maybe it was A.A. Allen, something like that, doesn't matter. But it was one of the most noted miracles of the ministry, and the kid walked out of there. And these are things that we see and we hear happen. And of course, the Bible talks about it. Maybe you're sitting there saying, I don't know about all this stuff. Read your Bible. It happened, and Jesus said it needs to still happen. It happened from the page one to page end. Praise God. It happened all the way through. Healing is part of what God designed us to be. And maybe you're like, oh, I don't know if I believe in healing. Well, have you ever gotten cut? Has it healed? How did it heal? It looks like magic, doesn't it? It's like it just all of a sudden it comes together. And you know, I remember when I was a kid, they had the Neosporin commercials. They put the Band-Aid on with Neosporin, and then they show it a time lapse a few weeks later, days later. And it's like, whoa, it's magic. And I remember being so impressed by that. And I didn't know why I was so impressed, and I was impressed by that for this moment right here when I was a little kid. Hallelujah. We saw, you could see it in time lapse. If you see a time lapse of a cut healing or a broken bone healing, what is it? It's a miracle. It's just you would look at it and you go, wow. Now if you shrunk that time lapse down, you know, with all that time down, which is what a time lapse is, and you look at the time lapse, you're like, wow, it's amazing. But it's a natural process. Sometimes God will speed it up, and why should we believe that that's not possible? So why would we not believe in the ability of people to heal? And we see it in action. I don't have to explain that. Glory to God. We got to get to more scriptures. Because this is I'm still in the introduction phase of this message. Big plans come to pass with simple steps of faith. Amen? we walk in faith all the time. I remember when I worked in this factory and I'd walk into the factory, I remember looking up. A lot of people didn't look up. You know, people just walk in, that's what they do every day. And people, a lot of people don't like to think about things, but I like to think about everything. So I watched things. I walked in, I looked up, and I see all this equipment hanging in the air. And then I look at the guys that work on all this equipment. And I'm like, you know, there's guys like that that hung stuff like that. And we walk in here every day with faith. We walk in under that, you know, thousands of pounds of equipment and don't even consider that it's up there or why it's up there. You ever ridden on a carnival ride? Amen. I stopped doing it because I just don't have that much faith anymore. But man, I remember going on a carnival ride and looking at the guy who was operating and thinking, who put this together? I remember asking a guy, I said, who put this together? Oh, I did. I wrote it anyways, but I was young and dumb. I wouldn't ride it today, amen. And if you like carnival rides, or if you put carnival rides together, I believe yours is good because you're... Praise the Lord. Turn me to Psalm 37. Praise God. Psalm 37. But it takes faith. We know what faith is. Man, you get in a vehicle and go out into go out on the street. That's faith. Some people are afraid of airplanes. It's way more dangerous than a car. You have faith to be in a car, get into an airplane. Don't be afraid. I'm just telling you the truth. Stop being hindered in life by things that you think you can't do. Stop being afraid of things. Stop being afraid. You know what? You know what's foolishness is being afraid of anything. Yeah. Not when you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. A lot of people are afraid of things and they wonder where the blessing is. The blessing is found in the thing you're afraid of. Going out and doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like whatever's hindering you, there's a reason it's hindering you. If you have anxieties about going out in public, I know I've been there. I've had it this week. This week I had it. I wanted to go to a coffee shop, that same coffee shop that I had anxiety about before. And I had the same thing. I didn't last near as long in the truck. I got pulled up to, I'm going in. That's what I did because I knew it would bless me by going in there. And so I went there. It blessed me. Glory to God. I got over it. My blessing was not going to be found at home, curled up by myself in my truck afraid. Anxiety is something that, do you know that anxiety is a tool of the devil to keep you from doing things that will bless your life? Let me finish that. Will bless your life. God wants to bless your life, and a lot of times you're only being hindered by the things that the devil's trying to drum up anxiety in. Yeah. So every once in a while, you need to step out. If you're afraid, step out into the fear, but do so in faith. How do I do so in faith? I trust my Lord. And if you don't, come talk to us. We need to get it in you. Psalm 37. Praise the Lord. I'm not there yet. Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. It's the doing. Being a doer means you have to have a doing. So the first step of everything is trusting in God. Lord, I trust you. Do you believe that God wants to do something in your life? If you did, if you didn't, you wouldn't be out. You wouldn't be thinking about it. You wouldn't, listen, even if you just make it real basic, if you didn't think God wanted to do anything in your life, you wouldn't be sitting here today. But you're sitting here because there's something in you that tells you that you should. And that something is God telling you he wants to do something in you and through you. Some people think, well, somebody dragged me here. Well, maybe somebody dragged you here, but you're still here for a purpose. Yeah. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is going to start a process. If you take this part of this scripture and tattoo this on the front of your mind, and then you walk through life with this as your goggles. Yeah. I went to a different thing, but you know, if you have it, it's there, it's right in front of you. Glory to God. Your direction will be clear. And even when it's not, it will grow clear. This is the wonderful thing about following God is that you can trust him. Amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. That means to live where you live, wherever you live, and cultivate faithfulness. When I see the word cultivate, I don't know about you, but I always think about farming. I think about a farmer out there planting something. They're cultivating the land. They're trying to grow something. They want a harvest. What is this harvest you're supposed to cultivate? Faithfulness. How do you do that? By doing good, by being a doer, by stepping out and doing something. Do you know what depression always did to me? Do you know what anxiety always did to me? Stop me from doing. And I can guarantee you, and I know there's people in here that deal with these things. If you're dealing with these things, you're going to agree with me. And I know you are because I understand it. And guess what? The attack of anxiety and depression is probably always going to be there for the rest of your life. I said the attack is. But you'll learn how to deal with it. You'll learn how to look at it. I don't live in anxiety. I feel it come up sometimes, but I deal with it because I'm a doer. And when I don't deal with it, then I deal with it. But I'm not going to deal with it because it's much easier to deal without it. So I'm going to deal with doing, and I'm going to get the thing that I need to get out of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what you're going to do too. We're going to cultivate faithfulness. Faithfulness is being faithful, full of faith. Hallelujah. It's the continue. I mean, when you look at faithful, when you really dig into what it is, that's really what it means, being full of faith. How do we step out? We're faithful. Why do we come to church? We would say that's a faithful person who comes to church every week and to the midweeks and all those things. That's a faithful person, right? That's what we would say. If you have a spouse, you say that faithful person, a faithful spouse is one who's always there, keeps coming back. What are they doing? They're cultivating faithfulness. They're always doing. And see, this is exactly what God says to dwell in the land. Do you know, when God says to dwell in the land, he doesn't mean just live there, just camp out. Just grab some place and get under some tree. That's not what he's talking about. You could say it like this. Live where I have you, the way I have you, full of what I've given you. Live there and do something. God, you know, the one of the greatest understandings to me that ever came was the idea that God will put a church in a place and fill it with spirit-filled people who know the word or people who are hungry for the word. And what he will do is change the very course of an entire region by planting a church there. Why do you think that the devil always opposes a good church coming into a place? Do you know that you can go over to China and there are certain churches that are allowed? But one kind of church that is not allowed in China is any church that resembles ours. Do you know why? Because they know that there's a lot of churches that are ineffective. And they're not afraid of churches that are ineffective. They're afraid of churches that come in and teach people how to think for themselves, how to think and follow the Spirit of God. They're afraid of that because they're full of the devil. Communism is full of the devil. Praise the Lord. And so that's what's trying to be birthed. That's what's trying to be birthed in our country. Yeah. You want to close down everything. You want to shut down everything. And I'm not talking from a political standpoint. I'm talking about the idea that the church is not as important as a liquor store. We found that out. Yeah. What did that do to us? That exposes in our minds and in our hearts, it exposes what they're trying to do. Yeah. What the flow of it. Maybe that's not the outward flow of it all. But that's the end of it all. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And how do you get beyond that? You get beyond that by being someone who does, by standing up. Because you know something? Jesus had opposition everywhere he went. The disciples had opposition everywhere they went. Praise God. But with the opposition, there was always breakthrough. Glory to God. Amen. Psalm, we're still there. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. You would do good to write these scriptures down, take them home, and just look at them over and over and over again. And just let them soak into you. Let them marinate. Become like Chevettas. Amen? Chevettas. Anybody like Chevettas? I love Chevettas. Yeah, see, everybody. We got a church that knows Jesus here. Amen? Glory to God. If you don't know Chevettas, let us know. We'll make sure that you learn what Chevettas is. You let it soak in and marinate. What does it mean? I like chicken. But Chevettas makes chicken better. It makes it good. Real good. Amen? You know, I remember that stinking Tom. Does anyone know Tom? Tom's Barbecue Pit? Used to be down there on Fairmount Avenue. Right? And in the summertime, he'd do it all year round, but they'd crank that thing up that cooker up, and I think they use Chevettas or something like it, you know, and they'd have those chickens on there grilling, and that smoke would waft across Fairmount Avenue. And what would you see? You'd see cars driving through it, and then you'd see cars turning around and going back to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what happens when you marinate in the Word, when you marinate in the things of God, when you allow them to start coming out. You're so much in that Scripture. You soaked it up so much. It's oozing out of your pores. And man, it starts changing something. It starts drawing people to you. It starts doing things in the area. And guess what? Nobody else owns this land. They can't close you down. They can't make you move to Foot Avenue where you're not going to be as effective. That's what they did to Tom. I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but that's how I perceive it at any rate. Amen? Praise the Lord. That stuff, they did a huge business there. And why? Because they were selling something that was really good, and they were making everybody know it. And that's exactly what God wants to do in us. But the way we marinate is we marinate in the Word. We let that Word get in us. We let it change us. Listen, if you're dealing with something, get into the Word and just start marinating in it. Start letting it change you. Start letting it do what it wants to do. And maybe you get into it. And see, this is a doing too. Maybe you open the Word. Maybe you say, okay, Pastor Jeff went to the Scripture, and he told me to do that. And right now, you're excited. You're stirred. I know you are, because I can see on your face. And you're almost coming out of your skin. You're so excited right now. But you get home, and you don't feel quite as excited. So Monday morning, you're sitting there, or Monday afternoon, or Monday evening, and you get back into the Word. Okay, Pastor Jeff said I got to marinate in this. And I get back into it, and it's just not as exciting as it was. You got to let it soak. Yeah. See, what you're smelling, the smoke is coming off of here. And it's going out there, and it's stirring things in you, and it's exciting you. But when you get back home, you're not smelling that smoke anymore. So you got to start your own fire. Yeah. You got to start stoking the coals under your own chicken and get it going. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let your house start filling with that, and you won't need Tom's anymore. Well, you know, it's still, praise God. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. See, if you get determined to do something, it can't stop you. You may have been determined to do something nasty. Maybe this week, maybe you've been determined not to get into the Word. Maybe you've been determined not to be faithful in church. Maybe you've been determined just not to be a very good Christian. You know what determination is. Why? Because the result of determination is whatever happens in your life. I said the result of determination is whatever happens in your life. And so if you are determined that it's going to change, that it's going to be better, guess what happens? It changes and it gets better. But you got to be determined. And determination means you ain't going to give up. Praise God. You ever met someone determined? Praise the Lord. If you haven't, you're watching one right now. I'm determined to get into some things. I'm determined to go somewhere. I don't even know where I'm going, but I'm determined to get there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you're going with me. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know one way you know you're marinating in the Word good is when you can spend as much time in it as I do when I'm preaching it. When you just go, I'm going to just read past it. Nope, spend time in it. Spend time. You know, every time I look at this, I want to re-preach it. Why? Because I've marinated and I've soaked it up, and it's in me, and it wants to ooze out, and I want to get every bit of the flavor that's in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Commit your way to the Lord. In other words, say, oh God, I'm going your way now. I'm not going my way no more. And now here we see this again. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Do you know what another word for judgment is? Determination. Yeah, get a Strong's Concordance, look it up. That's another word for it. He will bring forth your determination as the noonday. Your judgment, the things you deemed. You know, how do we correlate these words? The things that you've deemed good and appropriate, that's the thing that you're going to go after. Do you realize that your life is really a result of whatever you honor, whatever you love, whatever you think is the best? You say, well, wait a minute, I've just got bad stuff in my life. Well, look at the choices you've made. Because sometimes the things that you wanted only end in something bad. And if that's the case, you're not going to change it by praying. You know, you're not going to pray to God and have God take a choice that you made that's bad, and he's going to all of a sudden make it work out good. You're not going to get sweet water from bile. It's not going to happen. The Bible tells us that. If you are seeing things over and over and over and over and over, the same thing over and over and over in your life, look at the choices you make. I'm not trying to look at you and say, hey, listen, you're all doing wrong, because I don't know what choices you make when you're not with me. Yeah. I see the choices you're making right now. You're making a great choice, but some of the choices you make. And sometimes things happen to us. You understand, I know sometimes things happen to us that are aside from what we choose. So that doesn't mean that everything that bad that happens to us in life is because of something we've chosen. But those things aren't generally a constant thing, unless we allow them to be, but then that's a choice that we make. Yeah. Amen. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Nobody likes that word. Wait patiently for him. But I wouldn't tell us to wait patiently for the Lord if it happened instantly. Don't go to prayer with the expectation that you're going to change a whole bunch of life that you screwed up or somebody else has screwed up. Don't go to God thinking it's going to change overnight. Because there's things that God wants to do. Remember I told you there's things that he wants to build in you. He wants you to have the character. You know, God didn't just send me out to hike on that mountain. He's going to prepare me to do it. And the same thing is with you. That's what he wants to do. And so he's going to walk us through these things. Amen. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. You know what all this is? This is focusing on what everybody else is doing. Right. What everybody else has got. Oh, they got. Why do they got that? As soon as your focus goes to someone else, you're immediately in error. And you immediately lock yourself down from being able, looking what anyone else got, what anyone else has, is it's plain evil. It's not good. Right. It's not God. You know what's interesting is one of the things that I went through as I decided to go, I really wanted to understand how God looks at prosperity. How God looks at a person getting things, getting, you know, just stuff in life. How God really looks at that. And you know what I determined? And I mean, I studied and I went through the gamut. You can ask my wife. Every other day I was saying, let's sell everything and give it, you know, you give everything away and just, she could probably see over years the frustration. But finally, I came to this conclusion as I studied the word and spent time with the Lord. You know what I finally came to the conclusion of? God does not care what you have. It doesn't move him. If your house is a cardboard box, it doesn't move him. If your house is a $10 million mansion, it does not move him. You know, Elvis has this airplane. I've been on it, not flying, but I walked on it because they have it down there at Graceland. And I walk on it, and it has gold fixtures plated with gold. It has seat belts with the buckles that are covered with gold. Do you know what God does not care about? Seat belts that are covered in gold. You know why? Because money, things, they mean nothing to God. And if they mean nothing to God, they should mean nothing to us. But this, yet they do. Because if you don't have things, you're always like, I want more things. And if you do have things, you're like, I want to keep my things and or create more things. You know, it's always a thing, but God doesn't care. See, if you just walk through life following God, things will accumulate around you, and he doesn't care. He's not moved if you're rich. It doesn't matter to him. If your heart's before him, you will do right with the money. And do you know that not everything that you have is meant to be given away? There's nothing wrong with giving everything away if that's the way you're led. But you can't look at someone else and say, you should be giving more. No, you should. See, God doesn't, he hasn't set it up with what us looking at everybody else and what they're doing or not doing. God says, look at your own heart. Deal with your own heart. Let me deal with your own heart. And I will work things into you. And regardless of what's going on around you, it will be good for you. But you got to get your eyes off of what everybody else. You're like, oh, well, that person was mean to me. Who cares? What does it matter to you? What does it matter? It doesn't matter how they want to live their life. Yeah. That person isn't a very good Christian. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Pastor Jeff said something I don't like. Who cares? If you know that it's wrong, then just don't activate it in your life. Don't allow it to be in your life. Yeah. If I preach something, you're like, well, I just don't agree with that. Fine. Who cares? I'm just going to tell you, though, that the truth is if you know that you're following God, then there will be blessing. It will cultivate into something good in your life. Yeah. Amen? But we also have to be willing to look at our stuff and say, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Right. Well, nobody wants to do that. I mean, I'm talking me too. I don't want to do that. I couldn't possibly be wrong on this thing. If you've never felt that way, you've never been married. Because you will have two people who are very sure that the other person is completely wrong. Yeah. Who cares? Who cares who's right or wrong? Like, really, follow it to the end. What does it matter? What does it matter? Does it really matter? It doesn't really matter. I mean, there's times where things matter, but if you're following God, you're not going to go completely wrong. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's something else that we can look at too. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. People are going to do evil things. Who cares? I follow God. I said, who cares? I follow God. If I follow God, God's promised me blessing. It doesn't matter. Listen, every one of you can decide in unison that you hate me, and you could act accordingly. But that does not change the fact that God has promised me certain things if I follow him, if I look at him. So when I start seeing somebody do something I don't like, I just look back at God. And you know what he doesn't show me? To look back at them. He shows me, oh, look at yourself. Look at this. Fix this. Make this better. Sometimes you'll look at somebody. Sometimes the Spirit will show you something that's wrong in someone else. But he's not showing you that it's wrong in someone else so you can go make them do right. It's like he will show you things that are wrong in someone else so you won't do it yourself. And it doesn't mean that you go around now saying, hey, so-and-so is doing it wrong and I got it right. That's not what it's teaching. So you just teach right. See, there's a difference between constantly hammering somebody, constantly tearing somebody down, or trying to build things up. Yeah. A lot of Christians do this, if you haven't figured this out. A lot of Christians are tearing other people down when God has not given us a ministry of tearing people down. He's given us a ministry of building up. It doesn't matter what people are tearing down around you. Just keep building and you'll grow higher. Yeah. I said it does not matter what people are tearing down around you. You build and you'll go higher. Now, you know I'm not getting through the whole sermon tonight. I'm not going to even finish this group of scriptures. But we have touched on a lot of things that are very important. And one of the wonderful things is because now apparently I am in a series, I'm just going to be in a series. Praise the Lord. And some of you are like, oh, and I'm just telling you, who cares? Who cares? What if we come back and preach the same thing next week? Well, glory to God, we'll get something good then too. Amen?